This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Willard and Dibs. Dibs is not here. Guru has started his weekend. Steiny did a long time ago, so it's just Willard here hanging out, which means if you want to weigh in on anything, I would love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. You can send us a text. You can chat it up on YouTube. I've been doing that already with everybody there. So let's ride. Glad you're with us. And indeed, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We're thrilled to have Laughing Monk along for the ride. Okay, so I would like to attempt to help in this this daily Jonathan Kuminga conundrum that seems to be plaguing all of the Warrior fans and the Bay Area. You know, and I talked about it earlier this week. I really hate the idea that you have to pick a side. Like, he's wearing a Warrior jersey, so I hope all of his shots go in. I hope he flies. I hope he makes every free throw. I hope he defends like just a crazy person. That's what we all want to see. So I would like to attempt to help, because when I hear this conversation every day, I really do feel like it's going the wrong way. We're talking about the wrong thing. It seems to denigrate into this idea of whether or not Jonathan Kuminga is a really, really good player or not. He's either overrated or he's underrated and he hasn't been given the right chance. And invariably where this conversation falls is, do you believe that he might be a future all-star or not? And I would like to attempt to change the conversation. And I would like to use a former San Francisco Giant and current Los Angeles Dodger, who I root harder against than anybody else in all of sports right now, to help illustrate my point. And that person is Blake Snell. So if I asked you, is Blake Snell a good pitcher? Is he a really good baseball pitcher? What would you say? Obviously, everyone would be like, yeah. Like, this guy has won the Cy Young Award in both leagues. Like, Blake Snell is a really, really good pitcher. All right, then why did the San Francisco Giants not even call him in the offseason? He was their free agent. They were in need of starting pitching, and the Giants didn't even call him. Why would that be? I would argue because Blake Snell is a really good pitcher, but he's not the type of pitcher that the Giants were looking for. Buster Posey does not think that Blake Snell is like a great teammate, and he didn't love his approach to the game. So therefore, he's a really good player, but he's not the right fit with the San Francisco Giants. Fair? Okay. Now, before you say, I'm over here saying Jonathan Kuminga is a bad teammate, no, that's where the comp ends. What I would like to attempt to do is get all of us on the same page that Jonathan Kuminga is a very good basketball player. He is a young, growing, very, very good basketball player. Can everybody on both sides of the aisle, can we sit down and just agree with that? Can we get applause on both sides of the room? Jonathan Kuminga, good basketball player. So if we use that as the baseline, I think we can remove the frustrating debate. What ends up happening, though, is then we get to comments like what we heard from Steve Kerr yesterday after practice. I would like to play both of them for you, and then we'll go from there. Because it is tucked into these comments that I believe we figure out the whole problem that the Warriors and the fan base might be having about Jonathan Kuminga. It's not whether or not he's a good basketball player. It's whether or not he is effectively willing and able to do the things that this basketball team happens to need him to do now. So I hope in some tiny little way that takes all of the, quote, disrespectful and offensive comments off the table. Nobody's insinuating that Jonathan Kuminga is not really good at basketball. But this particular team needs him to do certain things a certain way. And so far, he's not really proved that he can do that. It's just like Blake Snell. Really good pitcher, can strike out a lot of people. But this Giants team needed somebody who was going to be a better leader in that spot, so they went and got 42-year-old Justin Verlander instead. You lead our young pitchers, because you seem like your head is screwed on much straighter. You may not be as dynamic, you're a lot older, but you can do what this team needs right now. And that's where I think we sometimes struggle with Steve Kerr and what he says and does with Jonathan Kuminga. So again, with Gary Payton now out, Steve said this after practice yesterday.
It opens up an opportunity for JK to be that defensive stopper, the guy who, you know, we've relied on Gary to be. JK's the obvious guy. Put him on the best offensive player. You know, pick up full, like harass people like Gary does. I'm going to ask JK to do that, and it definitely opens up more minutes for him if he's effective with that. And then again, it's mix and match game to game, depending on who's playing well and how we're playing.
Okay, so I pointed this out earlier with Goo. What's interesting to me there is that Steve doesn't just say, yeah, Jonathan's going to step in now into the role of being our defensive stopper. He starts going through specific characteristics. We need you to pick up full court. We need you to harass. We need you to absolutely get in the shorts. Now I'm adding words, but in the shorts of the player you're guarding, like you need that whole, all those sayings, pick him up off the team bus, all of those things. That's what Steve believes this team needs right now. And then he uses the P word. Listen to this next comment from Steve.
He's got a lot of potential in that regard, and you know I think it's right there for him to we'll give him some tough assignments here coming up, and but it's always in the context of the team and team defense, five-man unit, and that applies to everybody. You know, it doesn't matter if you're an on-ball defender or off-ball defender, you got to be in sync with everyone else. I thought we lacked that the other night. We had some mistakes on our own switching, coverage mistakes, so a lot of stuff to tighten up.
Potential. That's a big word. It's a big word in this particular conversation, in this situation, coming from Steve Kerr, who's worked with a player for 4 years And then there's been the push-pull about playing time, about role, about ability, about ceiling, all of those things. And Steve is still using the word potential. So remember, Steve said to us earlier this year, I say nothing into a microphone without thinking about it first. Nothing. And all of that went into microphones. That's why we have it recorded. So Steve knew exactly what he was doing, challenging Jonathan Kuminga to go do exactly what he needs him to do right now. Not be disrespectful and be like, I don't think Jonathan's any good. That's not what he's saying. This team, for better or for worse, runs around Steph Curry. And if Steph Curry's not there, it now runs around Jimmy Butler. Those are just the damn facts. That's just how it's got to be. Is life always fair? Every one of you listening knows that it's not. And everybody gets their lot in life and gets their thing. And this is Jonathan's in an NBA sense. He got drafted to a great team that already has great players on it. So that's what this team needs him to do right now. And to this point, he has not shown the team that consistently he can go do it. Let me give you another analogy. Let's have a little bit of fun with this. And because I think it helps sometimes to make fun of ourselves. You know what I mean? Steve and Jonathan, sometimes when I hear this commentary before and after games, they sound a little bit like a married couple that's been together just a little bit too long. And it doesn't mean that both sides aren't good at what they do. Like, for instance, guys, and this one's for you. Are you a good husband? And if you're married and you have kids and you conduct yourself in a respectful manner, I bet you think that you are a good husband. I bet you think that you do all of the right things. But she has been asking you now for 12 years to stop leaving the toilet seat up. She's been begging you. Can you stop leaving the toilet seat up? And sometimes you put the toilet seat down. Sometimes you do it. Possibly even most of the time you put the toilet seat down. But you don't put the toilet seat down all the time. And every time she sees that, it drives her nuts because she knows you have the potential. You have the potential to put the toilet seat down. But you don't put the toilet seat down every time, which means on some level, the way that that is going to land with her on some level, you are not receiving her coaching. You are not fully believing that what she is saying is a big deal is a big deal. Instead, you're focused on, yeah, but I drive the kids around. I help in the kitchen when I can. I go to work every day. I provide for this family. The bank account's in pretty good shape. Like, I'm a good husband. I'm a good dad. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. There's the issue. You're doing what you think makes you a superstar husband and a dad. But you may not be doing what the people around you are coaching you to do and believe that that household needs for you to do. You don't do them all the time. And I think that when that happens, it wears people down over a period of time. It's about a priority list. How high does that thing get on your priority list? If I'm confusing people, I don't think I am. I know it's a little silly, but the toilet seat here represents defense and rebounding for Jonathan Kuminga. Did everybody get that? That's the toilet seat. That's defense and rebounding for Jonathan Kuminga. Okay? So he has the potential to do that all the time. And he does it sometimes, but he doesn't do it all the time. And this team needs him to do it all the time. So you can't get happy about doing the thing that you, in your priorities, that's what makes it go for you. That's scoring the basketball for Jonathan Kuminga. He's thinking, I got a contract situation coming up, and that's how it gets done. We go out there and we score points. That's what people see. But that's not the thing. That's not the thing. And sometimes we laugh that stuff off too, right? If we go back to the analogy of the family, everybody's done this, right? I sent you to the store to get diced tomatoes. And you came home with garlic bread because you're like, whoa, that looks good. And so you got garlic bread and you brought it home. And then the dinner party happens and there's no diced tomatoes. And she's sitting there being like, I asked you to do one thing. I literally asked you to do one thing. And you kind of laugh it off. You're like, I just got distracted. There was a friend there that I ran into and I got going and I saw the garlic bread and I came home. But we've got garlic bread. It's okay, right? To you, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And that's what I hear. I hear somebody who, quite frankly, is kind of like, I don't want to say he's at the end of his rope, but he's tired. He is definitely tired. He's tired of the fact that the toilet seat keeps being left up. And all we do every day, especially here at 95.7 The Game, we wake up, we take a shower, we come in here, and we scream about Jonathan Kuminga taking the ball to the rack. That's it. He can cook, Mark. He can cook. You got to see him. He can get to the free throw line. He's athletic. He can fly. And Steve over here, we're going, this stupid Kerr guy, he won't play him. And he doesn't like young people. And Steve is over here in the corner going, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not even thinking about Jonathan going to the rack or his leaping ability. I just want him to rebound the basketball. That's what I hear. And so when people want to have this conversation and talk about why the hell does he love Brandon Pajemski so much, and it's a curious conversation for some, and I've heard people even bring up things that go as far as race when it comes to Brandon Pajemski and his playing time versus Jonathan Kuminga's. And I literally think you can simplify that conversation as far as you want to and pick up a box score every day and just look at the rebounding category. That's it. That's it. If you want to simplify it, look at the rebounding number. And Brandon's is higher than Jonathan's almost every time. And I think it drives the Warriors coaches batty. Nobody's saying Jonathan's not awesome. We just gotta go. This team needs him to do something else. Something that he won't consistently do, even though everybody knows he can. My God, you're all right. He can fly. So do it. Do it. Do it on both ends of the floor. Just want to see Jonathan, like, really, really play hard. Just be dripping sweat every time he comes off of the floor. And I bet you would see a completely different scenario as far as minutes, role, approach, everything. All of that. I really, really do. Let's go to Manny in Houston. I'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570 is the number. Hey, Manny, thanks for calling. What's up?
What's up, Willis?
How we doing?
I'm great, man. You know, I'm excited for the game tonight. I think it's going to show us a lot of what we need to see. But to your point, I don't want to say Kuminga is a bad player. I mean, he's in the NBA, for God's sakes, you know, so he's got some talent. But I think, and you said it perfectly, people like Gee, people like Moody, people like Pods, even at the beginning of the season when everybody was hating him for his shooting and trade Pods, bench Pods, he shouldn't be on the team. I was the one consistent saying he still gives you ultimate effort every time down the floor. He's taking charges. He's rebounding. He's trying on defense. And I think that's, even you can say Buddy Hield, even when he's struggling, he still is never short of effort, running as fast as he can down the floor, getting his hands out for a steal. So I think for me personally, what I, you said it too, you just need to see Kuminga giving that effort. Now, I'm no GM, but, you know, let him see what he's worth in the open market. Take advantage of that because, I mean, I still think our biggest problem since the Jimmy trade is our point of attack defense. I love Moody. I rock his jersey every day. I love Pods, but those guys are not a point of attack defender. Jimmy, I don't know how he'll do against a Luka, a LeBron in the playoffs, but I think we'll be a little bit better once we've kind of defined that. I just think we, you know, we're still missing wigs on the defensive end.
That's interesting. Maybe. Manny, thank you very much. It's a good call. There's a couple things in there that I might, you know, kind of bat back at you and play tennis a little bit. Like, Moody is not a point of attack on ball defender. If you'd said that to me 5 months ago, I'd have given full agreement. But man, he's improved. He has improved, and he has literally made a handful of game changing plays with his straight up on ball defense just in the last 3 weeks. Moses Moody has done that. And I want to make sure we point that out because, by the way, that's key to our conversation. Like, Moses Moody, who is nowhere near as athletic as Jonathan Kuminga, he has done that. He has changed games. He won the Detroit Pistons game. You could argue it was one of about two or three plays that were the most important plays. And you're talking about what is a literal, like, young budding superstar in Cade Cunningham with the ball coming down the floor. This is after Draymond's big three, just inside of 30 seconds. Warriors are up two, but here comes Cunningham with the ball. He crosses half court, and Moody trips him up and picks him clean. And the ball goes straight to Draymond. He grabs it. He's fouled. He hits a free throw. Warriors win. Massive win. And Moody has made plays like that. And Jonathan, I don't know how many full-blown opportunities he's had to do that yet, which is the beauty for me in this moment. The beauty of this moment is that for everyone who has wants to scream about more opportunity for Jonathan Kuminga, well, bang, here it is. We have arrived. We have arrived at a rubber meets the road moment for Kuminga as far as being able to do what the Warriors need him to do, and the stakes could not be higher. They go into a stretch of 10 games. They probably need to win at least 7 of them for this to be any sort of a realistic play for the Warriors. There's some really good opponents out there, and other teams are starting to heat up, and their schedule is easier. And Gary Payton goes down. So it's like, all right, here you go. Let's see you do what we believe you have the ability to do. But it has nothing to do with scoring the basketball. And so that's kind of what I would, at the end of all of this conversation, whenever the hell we get there, that's what I would suggest. It's what I try to do. If you want to have a Jonathan Kuminga opinion, stop looking at points. Let's look at this through a completely different lens, which is hustle plays and rebounding and on-ball defense, things that don't show up, Guy Santos type stuff. How about George in Los Altos? Hey, George, what's going on? Thank you for the call.
I really lost data, and I was hoping you guys could educate me. I watch every game, and all I can remember is Curry and Thompson consistently scrambling, running around, creating the play. Just from them just running around, yep, creates stuff. And we're talking about Kuminga right now, and it, you know, can he like take a notebook from a Thompson or it's Curry and just run around, create stuff? You saw how they used to mix it up, and then you get the Draymond giving it the pass to somebody under the basket, and I'm not seeing that. So educate me, why is that not happening, well, or am I just seeing it wrong?
No, George, it's an interesting question. Appreciate the call. Here's the only answer I can give is the one I would give, is that's not what Jonathan can do. That's a completely different skill set. And so, therefore, there's nothing wrong with that. Jonathan has his skill set. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson have their skill set. Jonathan running miles per night and then grabbing a ball and having a quick shot, unbelievably fast release three-point, that's not his game. So he's never going to look like that, and I don't think the Warriors would ask him to do that. I think it's their job to put him in his best position to succeed, but his job is then to start caring a little bit more about the other end. Again, for me, the Kuminga conversation is not about the offensive end of the floor. It's the other side, and that's where everybody can meet in the middle and things can go well for Kuminga. On-ball defense, rebounding, maniacal behavior when the other team has the ball. That's where I think his key is. Warriors are in New Orleans tonight. Tip is set for 5 o'clock. Warriors Live coming up in a half hour, presented by Xfinity. Stream sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. We're also sponsored by Ceremony Ford. Very thankful that you're with us. More of your phone calls still ahead around the bend, but also we'll get Bob Fitzgerald in on this conversation. Fitz joins us from New Orleans next on Willard and Dibs.
Online at atcopestcontrol.com now. ATCO Pest Control, guarding homes, stopping termites.
Hop into spring fun at History San Jose's Spring Egg Extravaganza on Saturday, April 12th from 11 o'clock a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Join us for egg hunts, exciting crafts from around the world, interactive story time, face painting, balloon artists, and of course, photos with the Easter Bunny. Rain or shine, the fun goes on at History Park. Egg hunt tickets are limited. Grab yours today by visiting historysanjose.org.
Big goals take more than hard work. They take the right support, and that's where My Outdesk comes in. Our experienced global virtual assistants handle the busy work so that you can focus on growth without the high cost of hiring in-house. From nurturing your sales pipeline to improving your customer experience, we help you get more done with less. Your goals, our talent. My Outdesk delivers. Learn how at myoutdesk.com.
Losing weight shouldn't be a struggle, and at Jumpstart MD, it doesn't have to be. Our licensed clinicians provide personalized weight loss solutions, including GLP-1 medications, available with or without insurance. With 13 Bay Area locations and online visits available, expert medical support is always within reach. Access to these revolutionary weight loss medications without insurance may not last long. So call to learn more today. Call 855-JUMPSTART or visit jumpstartmd.com. Jumpstart MD, science-backed weight loss designed for you.
Hey, this is Mark Randy, and I'll be broadcasting live at Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill on Saturday, March 29th from noon to 3. Come join me and take advantage of one-of-a-kind opportunities on floor models and factory direct pricing. Don't forget to visit Friedman's Appliance Red Tag Sale for the best time to save big.
T-Mobile Home Internet is all about speed, value.
What you doing, Zach?
I'm rehearsing. There are so many benefits. You got to talk fast.
T-Mobile Home Internet ranks number one in customer satisfaction for home wireless internet by J.D. Power.
Wow, you are good.
Try singing it. T-Mobile has price lock.
They won't raise your rate on internet.
Hulu and Paramount Plus on them.
On them.
Get T-Mobile Home Internet all in for just $55 a month with auto pay and any postpaid voice line.
Additional terms apply. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
What if your limited inventory had unlimited potential? What if your biggest risk was not taking one? What if you could make every move matter? Bank of America's business solutions can help bring your biggest what-ifs within reach. Find out how our digital tools, cutting-edge insights, and trusted expertise can work for your business. What would you like the power to do? Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check you have your phone first, before the cab pulls away.
Hey, thanks, man. No, wait, my phone, come back! It's got my boarding pass, credit cards, phone numbers, my life, come back!
Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliate.
Now going out to the River Islands guest line to hang with our buddy Bob Fitzgerald on the broadcast for the Warriors. And Fitz, first off, thanks for doing it, especially on a game night. And I'm curious, with all the travels, the national broadcasts, what has this week been like for you? What have your travels been?
I've been on the team plane and in the team hotel and done every game.
Okay, so no, though that's my,
this,
I meant.
Is this a trick question?
No. I didn't want the itinerary. I sort of meant like there's been a lot made of this whole Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans thing. A lot of the downtime. Like, how do you think the guys have handled the week?
Well, I mean, it's the stupidest road trip I've seen in 32 years. And I don't know, you know, the NCAA tournament is at Chase Center, so that's understandable. But I saw this in August when they put out the schedule, and to come to Orlando and Charlotte and not play Miami and Atlanta on the same road trip made no sense. So they were on a road trip that went Orlando, Philly, Charlotte, Knicks on a back-to-back, and then Brooklyn. And then 2 weeks later is Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, San Antonio, Memphis, L.A. to come home on the back end of a back-to-back to play Denver after being on the road for 14 days. So, you know, the time off is what it is, but to have played a game Saturday in Atlanta on the 22nd and then to play one game in 5 days before we play New Orleans tonight, I mean, made no sense at all.
Yeah,
so, that's, you know, kind of... So I just think that, I mean, you know, I just don't, I've done this for 3 decades, and, you know, I just know that Atlanta, Charlotte, Miami, and Orlando are really close to each other, and New Orleans is not that far away. I just never understand how the league does not have a map when they send teams out on flights. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's a little bit more the answer that I was searching for, because it's an awkward time, and part of what you're talking about hasn't even happened yet. There's some hard games and a weird schedule next week. So what are your hopes, expectations, and fears for that week?
Well, I think, you know, you look at New Orleans tonight, and it's a game the Warriors desperately have to get because you only have 10 games left, and you stubbed your toe against Atlanta and Miami. And the Miami game's a little more understandable because the Heat shot 17 of 25 on threes. That's the fifth best percentage ever in an NBA game with 25 or more attempts. So that was a Haley's Comet kind of shooting night for Miami. And, you know, they won, and that's fine. But New Orleans, San Antonio become incredibly critical because the Warriors' entire season is going to be determined with at Memphis, at Lakers, back-to-back home against Denver, and then Houston. Those four games are going to decide, are you the sixth seed? Are you the seventh seed or the eighth seed? You know, and where are you going into the play-in? Do you have a home court? Are you in a real series in 3-6 and avoid the play-in? Like, that stretch is going to decide everything. So you better get New Orleans and San Antonio to make that four-game stretch at Memphis, at Lakers, back-to-back home, Denver, and then Houston really matter for all it should matter. So that's why tonight becomes incredibly critical.
Fitz, the comments about the Miami game aside, obviously, yeah, they were hitting the threes. Maybe on an individual basis, though, it seems like last couple weeks the Warriors have run into a lot of individuals who have kind of careered it. So do you believe that they have just run into a few different buzzsaws, or is there something defensively going on that contributes to what they're seeing?
I think a lot of people do a lot of overthinking. You know, prior to this year, without Steph Curry, the Warriors were 14-46. So what are the commonalities of the Atlanta and the Miami games?
Yeah.
You play without Steph Curry. So, you know, Denver shockingly lost a bunch of games without Jokic. The Lakers shockingly lost a bunch of games without LeBron. Milwaukee shockingly loses a bunch of games without Giannis. Like, this is not, people still need to stop overthinking these things. You know, you have one of the top 10 players in the league that is an enormous part of your offense. And your offense is linked to your defense in the NBA because when you're not scoring, even though everyone says, hey, you should run back and guard just as well. No, when the ball doesn't go in the basket, the Warriors get sad. So that leaks into everything else you do on the, you know, defending, rebounding, extra efforts, all that kind of stuff. When, you know, you run up and clank, you know, shockingly, you're not as motivated to run back on the other end. It shouldn't be that way. It just is that way.
I hadn't thought of that analysis that the Warriors might be sad a little bit too much on this roadie.
I'm just saying, when the ball doesn't go in the basket, I'm sure everybody gets sad. I know calling the games, I get sad.
Yeah.
So, that's just part of the deal. So the offense is built to revolve around Steph. So when you don't have Steph, they make things pretty janky, you know. And it's not that, and I said this even in the Denver game, where Denver rallied up and had a nice game without Jokic and without Jamal Murray. You can do that for a one-off. Guys can have a, you know, come to Jesus game without your star one time, and that happens a lot. But you can't do it over and over again. And so, you know, the Warriors won a game against Milwaukee, you know, without Steph. But then, you go on the road and it's no Steph in Atlanta, no Steph in Miami. Like, that's the reason they're 14-46 without him. Now this year they're 7-5. That's still really good, but they were way better until they lost the last two. They were 7-3. So yeah, so there's about 15 stars in the NBA and there's only five guys that play on the court. So when a team is missing their superstar, that is going to be some very tough sledding. So you can rally up, you know, for one game without your stars, but over time, it's not going to be a winning formula. And so I think for the Warriors, there's a reason they were 14-46 without Steph in previous years, and they're 7-5 without him this year, which is actually quite good, but they had been 7-3. And so losing the last two to Atlanta, Miami, it's the way the league is. The best players must play for your team to be good and for your team to max out. And particularly if you're playing on the road without your best players, that is going to be a major issue.
TV voice of the Dubs, Bob Fitzgerald with us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, what do you make of the GP2 injury and how that will affect the team going forward?
It's a big one. It's a big one because Gary is that wing defender that you can put on another elite scorer and turn the water off or at least slow him down. And, you know, he's just had such a great season. And in recent vintage, GP2's been hitting threes. And then he's the one guy that plays with Steph and Draymond where he can set those screens and then roll to the basket. And, you know, he's the little big man, you know, whether it's dunks or layups, his ability to finish around the rim is just excellent. So, Gary out for any period of time. I don't think it's a coincidence that in the Warriors' last championship run, GP2 got pushed in the back by Dylan Brooks, you know, and missed a bunch of games. But when he came back, that's when the Warriors were at their best. And he was a big part of beating Boston in the finals. So huge, huge piece to what they have. And it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of different guys now because you don't have probably your best wing defender. Now, Draymond's incredible. And then, you know, Jimmy is a very good defender. But when you had Draymond, Jimmy, and Gary Payton, you know, now you have multiple guys that you can put on different matchups.
Well, you say it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of guys, and it sounds like the first guy up is going to be Jonathan Kuminga. I thought Steve Kerr's comments yesterday after practice were fascinating. Not only did he said Jonathan is the one who's going to take that role, but the way he kind of said it almost sounded like they've been pleading with Jonathan for so long to really focus on defense and rebounding. They believe he can do it, but maybe they haven't seen it consistently yet. So what'd you make of those comments?
Well, I mean, I think Kuminga is definitely going to play and play more. You know, all the rotations are going to change with Gary out of there because that's about, you know, 18 to 20 minutes a game. So that's going to be eaten up by somebody. But different guys find their spots in different ways. You know, Moses Moody's defense has been very good in the last couple months, but that's consistent playing time and the role that they want him. And Mo has embraced that and done really nice. You know, for JK, sometimes young guys are focused on scoring or other things like that. The one thing the coaches have talked to him about, and you see glimpses of it that gets you so excited, I go nuts on the broadcast, Jonathan Kuminga should be an elite rebounder, an absolute elite rebounder. And yet, why is Steph Curry or Brandon Podziemski rebound the ball better than Jonathan Kuminga? That doesn't make any sense. So at some point, I just believe so much in JK's ability and see him do things that just can't be done by anyone else on the Warrior roster that I get excited for what he can do, but the only person that's going to do that is him. And so, you know, you're always waiting for young guys to take that leap forward. And so here's an opportunity. The team desperately needs it. JK's healthy, which is great because you missed him when he was out. But he's the one that's got to go out and do it. So, you know, Steve's talking about here's an opportunity. And all of Dub Nation is kind of hoping Kuminga embraces that and knocks it out of the park because that would be great for the team and it would be great for him.
Okay, Bob, this is a fascinating statement. I want to dig into that a little bit. Like, what do you see in terms of why that isn't happening? Is it just a young player in a learning curve? Is it defiance? Like, what is it?
The defiance to not rebound the ball? No, I think that would be ridiculous. No, there are things that you see guys do sometimes that they just need to do more consistently. And for young players, that always is the bane of growth in the NBA is to become a consistent player. You know, to know, you and I both have watched a lot of basketball. Do we have an idea what Kevon Looney is going to do when he comes into the game?
Yes.
We do, right?
He's going to bring his lunch pail.
He's an incredibly consistent player. I do not think tonight Kevon Looney is going to dribble across half court and launch six threes. Okay? That's not what he does. That's not his game. But I do know he's going to go to the offensive glass, and I do know he's going to set screens, and I do know he's going to play defense. So that's what we do know about him. Now, if you look at other guys on the team and you look at other guys in the league, there's plenty of guys like, I don't know what the hell they're going to do tonight. You know, and some of it will be great, and some of it will be awful, and some of it will be misguided or whatever. That's part of young players in sports, is be consistent and follow and do what you do well. And then once you do that, then your coaches can put you in certain situations for the team to perform at its best.
Well, I ask it the way about defiance for this reason, because we often hear that things like defense and rebounding are just effort. And in fact, also, Bob, one of the assistant coaches told me last year that when Jonathan really started to realize that he could score at a high level in the league, he just kind of forgot about defense. So there's I do think there's a prioritization of what guys are going to do out on the floor. And maybe Jonathan sees himself differently than the coaching staff does. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you're overthinking it. I just think that, to me, in sports, there are people that do things in football and baseball and basketball, hockey. They do things to help you win. Now, the casual fan sees points scored, and they think, this guy scores points. Now, there's a lot of really bad teams in the NBA where there's a lot of guys that score points, and that has nothing to do with winning, because if they could do other things, their team would win more. And so I was just, lucky enough, we played golf the other day, and one of the guys said that's a member of this course is Shane Battier. And Shane Battier, to me, is he a great scorer when you think about him?
No.
Was he a great elite ball handler or this or that? Shane Battier was a winner. Draymond Green is a winner. Jimmy Butler is a winner. Like, you just do things to win basketball games. And so that sometimes they quantify in stats. You know, you'll see rebounds and you'll see assists and block shots and things like that. But are you doing things to win games? And the tough thing with younger players is they come in the league and they think, I need to score because scorers get paid and I want to get paid, and so I'm going to go out and score. Well, we just retired a guy's jersey in Andre Iguodala, who came to the Warriors and focused only about winning, became a Finals MVP, is a likely Hall of Famer, and has his jersey in the rafters. Did Iguodala ever worry about, did he score that night, or did he have assist that night, or did he have rebounds that night, or did he defend that night? No. Andre Iguodala just helped you win every night. And so that's what you have to figure out as a player. And that's not a coach telling you something, and that's not, something where it's, well, hey, go do this, go do that. You got to figure out how to contribute to winning, and that's what makes elite players in our sport. And so, but I just see different guys that have skill sets that can really help you win. We just talked about an injured player in Gary Payton. GP2 is an oddity. He's only 6'3", but he plays like a power forward on offense, and he plays like an elite defensive back on defense. And so he's figured out how to, with the Warriors system, where to plug in to help contribute to winning. And that's got to be the goal right now for the final 10 games. They need to win. They need to win these games to get their best possible playoff seeding. And then in the playoffs, I don't care who, minutes and points and this and that, did you win four games in a series to kind of advance? These are the things that matter for this team right now.
Bob, what do you make of the West in this moment? All the shuffling, the Clippers are playing phenomenal. Memphis has fired their coach. Like, when you look at the rest of the schedule and everything going on in the West, what kind of stands out to you right now that matters to the Warriors?
Well, OKC's on a different planet. Okay, so, put the Thunder aside. There's a blanket over everybody else. You see the Rockets as the 2 seed, and you're like, hey, the Warriors have done fine against the Rockets. They've won the season series. You see Minnesota. Hey, the Warriors won the season series against them, too. Then you look at the Clippers and the Lakers and Denver and Memphis, you're like, oh, man, those are tough matchups. But could the Warriors beat those teams? Sure. Could those teams beat the Warriors? Sure. You know, could the Lakers beat Denver? Sure. You know, could the Clippers get by Memphis? Absolutely. So I just think it's really cool is that after the one seed, OKC being different, that from 2 through 11, you know, could I see the Phoenix Suns with KD and Booker, you know, go nuts and beat a team? Sure. You know, because I watched them beat Cleveland the other night and was like, wow, Phoenix is – there's that firepower now. Anthony Davis is back with Dallas, and you're thinking, all right, now Dallas can be something. So I love it. I love where the league is because there's no we've got Dodgers-Yankees, and that's going to be the World Series. I mean, there's been six different winners in the NBA in the last six titles, Warriors being one of them. And I think we might be on our way to a seventh different champion this season. It's been that good.
So what I take from that, then, is the Warriors better get either a top six seed, or if they end up in that 7-8 game, they better win it.
Well, in the 7-8 game, you'd like to be at home. You know,
right.
So, I mean, right now they're tied with the Clippers, but the Clippers have the tiebreaker. And then in the wonderful scheduling master stroke, they play the Clippers the last game of the season.
Yep.
And that's awesome. You know, and so that could be for, do you want to be the sixth seed? Do you want to be the seventh seed and host Memphis or Minnesota in a 7-8 game? You know, so, I mean, none of this is going to be decided to the last weekend of the season. I can guarantee you that. So that's what makes these games so critical. And then you see, as you mentioned, Memphis makes a coaching change. Hey, after New Orleans and San Antonio, where do the Warriors go? They go to Memphis.
You know?
So, yeah, and you have the Lakers lose like an unbelievable game to the Bulls last night in the final 12 seconds. And you're like, oh, who do the Warriors finish the road trip? Oh, at the Lakers, you know. So this is just awesome as far as who the Warriors have left, what's going on in the West, what these games will mean, and this is what you want. You know, this whole, well, the season's too long and this and that, and it probably is, but these last 10 games, man, I could give you a reason to watch every single one of them. That's what's so cool about it.
Bob, have a great call tonight, man. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Mark. Great hearing your voice. Be good.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Bob Fitzgerald, straight into this. Steph Curry's playing tonight. 30 is back. So certainly widely expected, certainly hoped for, and now it is a reality. Steph Curry is in for the Warriors tonight. Now, health is something that it's unpredictable. So you don't want to hang that around a player's neck as we get down the stretch here, but I do agree with Bob with what he kind of said back at the beginning of that conversation. Sometimes when things get a little bit difficult for the Warriors or any other team, we are guilty of overthinking it. The last two games, what's the number one headline? Like, we can get into all of it. Well, Jimmy looked passive and the defense wasn't right. And you know, Kuminga this or Moses Moody 0-for-9. Get into all of that. The number one headline, I would say, if somebody landed here from Mars and went, what happened to the Warriors the last two games? Steph didn't play. And then we eat. Like, that's it. That's and no, that doesn't tell the whole story, but that's a big part of the story. And I personally believe a fair part of the story. Sometimes it's interesting to me when you hear people say, well, wait a minute. You need to be ready for that. That's why you got Jimmy. No, it isn't. You didn't get Jimmy to replace Steph. You got Jimmy to help Steph. Like, I will openly just say this, and I hope that no Warrior fan is bummed out by this. If Steph's not available in the playoffs, you lose. End of story. And I do think sometimes you have to be sort of uncomfortably comfortable with that as a sports fan or as a franchise. The examples are everywhere, right? Last few years, when Joe Burrow gets hurt, what happens to the Bengals? You lose. That's it. You're out. You know, it like Cowboys last year, I don't know where that was going to go, but Dak Prescott's out. You lose. 49ers played a game. They went to Green Bay this year, and Brock Purdy was not available. And it was evident, 36 seconds into the game, you lose. So, I don't know what to tell you about all that. Steph Curry is going to have to remain healthy for the Warriors to have an opportunity to do anything over the next 3 weeks and beyond into whether this goes to April, May, June, or whatever. They're going to need him on there. All right, before we start Warriors Live, can we do this one real quick? Yeah, all right. Let's go Watermelon and Hayward. What's up, Melon? What are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
I listen to you guys every day. I feel like you got to give Kuminga a break. He's not Franz Wagner, and that's a GM problem. They should have drafted Wagner. Second problem, they got Buddy Hield out there running around, not hitting shots, can't defend, horrible on health side, and he gets way too much play. And everyone's got to pick up his slack on defense. That's my piece.
Well, okay, Watermelon, it's not that it's unfair, although whenever I get this a lot, oh, you got to give Kuminga a break. I actually think that if you've been listening at all over the last hour and a half, I've given him plenty of a break. I don't think he really needs to be given a break because I don't think that there's any reason to come down his road. The conversation around Jonathan needs to change. And I also think it's fair in life to expect certain things from people that we don't expect from others. So I'm not going to compare Jonathan Kuminga to Buddy Hield because that's actually disrespectful to Kuminga. Kuminga can do 100 things out there that Buddy can't do. Buddy was not hired to do what Jonathan can do. Buddy was hired to knock down threes, and sometimes he does it and sometimes he doesn't, and that's the nature of the beast. He also makes about $8 million a year, and Jonathan is hoping to make 30. Or 25, or 40, or whatever the hell, wherever that ends up going. But different rules for different people based on different skill sets and talents. Jonathan can do this. They believe he can do this, but he sometimes doesn't. And so that, to me, is the conversation around him. Buddy Hield cannot be a good defender. He's a longtime veteran in the league. He doesn't do that. And he wasn't brought here to do that. So I'm not going to then get mad at him when he doesn't do that and say, let's lay off Kuminga because that guy over there doesn't do it either. Well, he can't. He can't, but Jonathan can. And so more expectations are going to be there. The Elite Eight is at Chase Center tomorrow. Former St. Mary's player, USF coach Todd Golden, still rolling. Florida Gators, Texas Tech, 3 o'clock. Go to chasecenter.com/events for your tickets. We're also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. The game is an hour away. Let's ride. Warriors Live is next on Willard and Dibbs.